Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 3, Birds of a Feather, Issue 2, A Second Chance. On the cover, radio host Jack Chance sits in his studio, his desk cluttered with action figures of our brave heroes. The figures of Sokotoa and Frequency face off alone against the larger figure of Dr. DeVillis. In the corner, the figures of Sage and Alina face away from each other. He is pointing to a knocked-over figure of Puck and saying, "Who wants $50,000?
This issue starts with the exterior of a building and just an enormous demon upper body crawling out of just shattered stone and out of the window. It's got just big, huge horns and fire breathing down. And there's a little editor's caption that says, Dr. DeVillis, down floating nearby is Centurion in their full Romanesque technology armor with Centurion as the little editor's label. And then on the ground, yeah, is Sokotoa holding someone in like technological, clearly striped eagle armor. And so I'm going to go to you first, Sokotoa. So she's starting to kind of move her head a little bit. And she says out loud, system diagnostic. And you see like lights go all around the visor and it's making some sounds. And it goes, non-concussed. Non-concussed striped eagle. Well done. Shall we get back to it?
Did that just call you striped eagle? Because you don't look like I thought you would.
She nods her head and like just holds out a hand to like, I guess actually you're actively holding her. So she starts like extricating herself from your arms and like starting to like try to get up. And it's clear that she's in a lot of pain. And she goes, yeah, striped eagle. I figured it was about time there was a new one. And you are?
Sokotoa. You haven't heard of me? I mean, I've heard of you. I thought.
Nice to meet you. And she puts out a gauntleted hand.
Is that your
thing? You want to use that? Okay, go ahead and roll that move.
Okay, so that is 8 plus, it's an 11.
Okay, so you get to choose one thing that she's heard about you and the label that embodies that.
Okay, so she has seen me on the news when I made national news when I was still in Hawaii.
Okay.
For like stopping petty crimes, you know, like people who are robbing things. Like I would throw something, knock somebody out, like leave a stupid, like math related pun. So that's like my calling card.
Cool.
So she's seen that.
Okay. And what label does that exemplify to you?
What is superior?
Intelligent, capable, adult.
She's gonna, that's danger.
Okay. So she looks at you and goes, Sokotoa, come over to the mainland. Did some interesting stuff out there. Listen, we've got a bit of an issue, so let's leave further introductions to later. You want to help me out with this?
Sure. Can you give me something on, like, all I have is these orbs. I was going to call them something else, but, I need some help here. Look, you have a lot more stuff than I do.
Look, I'm very busy. I need to take care of this now. So either help or don't, okay? And she just puts her hands down and starts to just like rocket up into the air to start dealing with this thing.
Ah, well, you may have some cool tech, but I don't see any math symbols on it. So I win the costume contest.
That's definitely like in a panel with you looking up into the sky with her like full on up in the air. Let's hop over to Frequency. Frequency. Dr. Davila's got really big.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And is now crawling out of this building. What do you do?
Oh boy. Ben has no idea what to do.
Okay. That's okay.
Absolutely no idea what to do. Centurion is...
is like up in the air, kind of starting to like sort of recover, and they've moved the lance into down position. And they say, Davilus, stand down now. And Davilus is just like... not even making human speech anymore.
Do you guys have any recommendations for what Frequency should be doing?
What are your labels at?
My labels?
Yeah, what's your highest one?
Superior.
Assessing the situation would be that.
Do that, then. That's my... if you don't know what to do, do that.
Look at your highest label and do that. Okay.
How can we end this quickly?
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Go ahead and get that roll.
I'm also thinking of it in terms of I'm looking through the cameras again, but I'm sure there's security cameras or things on, like traffic cams or stuff. I can try and get a tactical view, sort of pull information from a bunch of places, trying to assess not just what I can see, but what can I detect.
Sounds good.
That's a 7.
That's a 7. Oh my gosh.
That was a four. The plus 3 made it a 7.
Okay, cool. So you get one question.
Okay, one question.
And you wanted to ask, how can I end this quickly?
How can we best end this quickly?
Okay. Davilus is a big fire guy. And being near the water, if you can get him into the water, then he's going to fizzle on down to his regular form.
Okay. Can I use... Is he getting ready for an attack?
He's like crawling out of the building. As soon as he's out of the building, he's going to start wrecking stuff.
Okay. I'm going to try and make an illusion of Centurion.
Okay.
That's directly in between him and the water.
Oh, cool. I love it.
It may not be enough to get him all the way into the water, but we're working him away from the buildings on that side of the boardwalk.
Yeah.
More towards the beach.
Yeah.
Working his way down there.
Perfect. Okay. Go ahead and give me a roll. Oh, you know what? You've got that mislead roll, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and give that roll.
That's a roll plus superior.
Nice.
So it's another plus 3. So a 10.
10, okay. So what's happening on the 10?
On a 10, choose 3.
Okay.
You get an opportunity.
Okay.
You confuse them for some time.
Okay.
And expose a weakness or flaw.
Okay. Davilus crawls out, and at this point, it is full demon form. And so, like,
he's now 26 feet tall.
Needless to say, the pants have ripped off entirely.
Whoa.
And so you can see the backwards knees and, like, hooved feet on it.
That's where we all thought you were going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
His knees.
And
he's
so
got a huge knee.
Backward knee. Big hooves. And so he crawls out of the building and starts after the Centurion that you've created in the air. And he's just... like swiping at it and shooting flame out into the air. And you can see that its gait is just unbalanced. Like this much into it, he is too big to be balanced on those little hooves. And so a good push from like something strong would topple it right into the water.
Okay. Can he still have like a foot on the boardwalk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm sure that at some point on this boardwalk, there were kids with like scooters or skateboards.
Oh, definitely.
I'm grabbing a skateboard and sliding it down so that he'll step down. I'm trying to time it just right. So he'll just step on the skateboard and just whoop, it goes right out from under him.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Okay. 5. Yep.
We haven't used any team yet.
You haven't used team.
We haven't
true.
Used any team yet.
However, only one of you is... Oh, wait. So you could use team selfishly to give yourself a plus 1. And you could use a team to give him a plus 1. And that could bring you from a 5 to 7 if you can come up with a way to do it.
Well, I have to be near him to do that? Is that how that?
Well, if you can come up with a way to do it.
I'm not anywhere near you, though.
Right, you're probably near enough.
I was gonna say, you could like throw something to ricochet off the, like tilt the, to get in the way of the skateboard just enough that it like veers off just right.
Yeah, he's off track and you kind of like bop it to the side.
Got it. Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I can use the, my regular orb.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah, so you hurl.
That'll bounce back to me.
Yeah, so you hurl one of your orbs and it, bink, because it's not going the right way. He's not going to catch it. It's just not going to happen.
They probably like just look at each other for a second.
We get a panel of frequency, like really hopeful. And then Sokotoa making eye contact with him and just giving him like a no.
There's probably a panel that is just like an aerial top down view of the boardwalk. You see where Davilus is and where Frequency is and where Sokotoa is, and there's lines and angles drawn out. And then it cuts back to Sokotoa, who's just like, nah. And that's the throw of the orb.
And throws the orb and then gives like a little thumbs up. And then do you have a way to use a team selfishly?
I don't need a move to do that.
No, you just do something.
A narrative way of doing
basically
it.
Do something that harms your team in some way. Whether it's him or Centurion and Striped Eagle, who are now both like in the air, like trying to fight this thing, but it's so big. Like, you know, it's taking King Kong swipes at them.
So it needs to be something that's detrimental to the team in some way there.
Yeah, it's when you act selfishly, you say how your actions ignore or insult your teammates. Remove one team from the pool and shift one label up and one label down, your choice.
What were you suggesting there?
Just that maybe he knows that when Deville steps on this skateboard, he's going to fall like right into Centurion, and he does it anyway.
I would allow that.
I don't know if that's enough of a selfish.
I mean, they are expecting him to be fighting, and
you know what you could do? You could blast off one of their rocket, like one of their boosters, to move them into the perfect position to cause Davilus to swing at them.
To get him to go into that direction?
To get them to go in the right direction.
But he's going to take a swing at them.
He's going to take a swing at them.
Okay. Yep.
That's what you do?
That's what I'll do.
All right. Are you doing this to Centurion or to Striped Eagle?
Is Striped Eaglet in the air?
Striped Eaglet's in the air and fighting. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Hashtag no eaglets.
No, you can't have Striped Eaglet take it. She's already been annihilated.
Okay.
She's going to be dead.
I'll do it to Centurion again.
Okay.
Especially if he's chasing after the illusion of Centurion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so maybe you just drop the illusion,
okay,
and then that happens.
Gotcha. So he's no longer, he's going after real Centurion.
Yeah,
turns a little bit, and so he's gonna pivot.
So he swings a claw and just backhands Centurion, who just gets hurled down the boardwalk and just like slams against the ground, thud thud thud, and one of their foot rockets is still going off.
Oh no.
And just kind of dragging and spinning them as they go down. And it's first off humiliating and also clearly painful because they're sliding more or less on their face.
Ugh.
But Davilus hits the skateboard and just tumbles forward and splashes into the bay. Immediately, just steam comes hurling up, enormous amounts of steam. Like it is now muggy and hot and horrible all around you. In among all of this steam, you see just this man, probably in his maybe late 40s, Caucasian, blonde hair, just sort of trying to keep up in the water, and like just gasping and panting as he starts to like bring himself back towards shore. And
he's not actively drowning.
He's not actively drowning. Okay. He's just like, he's clearly not like, you know, he's not a wonderful swimmer and he just stopped being a 25 foot tall monster demon, 26 foot tall monster demon.
Frequency definitely just mutters to himself, what is it with villains and steam in this town?
And then we get a panel of Striped Eaglet, which I'm now going to, no, Striped Eagle, floating down above him and just saying, it's over, Davilus. Turn yourself in or face the combined wrath of Protean City. And then we go back to the recording studio. We've got a panel from above that shows this little recording studio. Mm-hmm. And Jack Chance is like just lounging in his chair, just looking totally at home and completely safe. And Puck in full costume is, I guess, standing across from him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, you know, there's the full setup with all the mics and everything like that.
Yeah. I want to try to turn the mics back on.
Okay.
To broadcast.
Okay.
So we've waited a moment, a song played, and Puck kind of reaches down and just like pushes the slider back up and he grabs a microphone.
I am sitting down now with a new hero on the scene, Puck. Puck, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. We are here live at WPRT with Jack Chance coming to you over the airwaves. Jack Chance, good friend of Dr. DeVillis, wreaking havoc on the boardwalk right now. Didn't know that about him.
Dr. DeVillis, Puck, you are a tricky little son of a bitch, aren't you? And he's got just like a big old grin on his face. And he says, so where are you getting this wild story about me and Dr. DeVillis? And he hits a button and it goes like, wow, wow, wow.
He just burst out of a building on the boardwalk and we were saying hello because we were there like the good citizens we are doing our public, our community service. And so we decided to save the day and I got the chance, to have a nice conversation with him. And he was telling me about how you two go way back.
Puck, I like you. I'm going to be honest. I've always have liked you. But you're coming in here and making all these crazy accusations. I'm the guy out there showing my face on the street. Everyone knows Jack Chance. You go to the front of WPRT, big poster, my face, no questions. What are you hiding back there, buddy?
The better question is, what's behind your mask?
Oh, are you trying to pierce his mask?
Well, I wasn't, but yeah, maybe I am.
Yeah, go ahead and try to pierce his mask.
Oh, nice. So that's a 6 and a 5. And
that's with mundane.
It's mundane, so minus 1.
So that's a 10 still. So you get to ask 3.
How can I get your character to admit that he has a connection to Dr. DeVille?
You can take off your mask. He's willing to admit anything to get you to take off your mask on air.
And what is he really planning?
He is planning on killing you or exposing you.
Okay.
Either way, he gets the sliver of power that you have. You immediately recognize in his eyes a look that has come into your eyes and a look that has been in the eyes of the great old trickster.
Yeah.
He is definitely the embodiment of the trickster on this earth.
And I guess, how could I gain influence over you?
You could gain influence over him. You could gain influence over him by playing into his games. He wants to have fun with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to push him. And he's willing to give things up in order to play with you. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because like, a lot of this is just the reflection of the great old trickster that you're seeing in him.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm establishing that connection.
Yeah.
I understand.
And so he just kind of is smiling back at you and he goes, so Puck, I have here a checkbook. Give me a number. What's it going to cost for you to take off your mask and tell us who you are?
Jack, we're on the radio. No one would be able to see. We wouldn't even be worth it.
Babe, I will turn on a live stream. We're like, this is going to be good. This is your chance.
You're thinking so small, Jack.
You're the one
Let's
turning on
bigger.
The mics. Okay, hit me. Let's go bigger. Come on.
Yeah.
What's going on then, Puck?
But not today, because your friend is still messing up the boardwalk. So I have to get back to that.
Hold on. Give me a second. And he reaches over and he just taps to turn it off. And he goes, I know what you are. And I'm very excited about that because I know I'm pretty great. And I think you must be pretty great, too. But I also know that at the end of this, at the end of all of this, one of us is going to be leaving and one of us isn't. I know what he does to people that take his power without asking. And I know he's going to be looking for you. So I'm going to offer you a deal. Let's work together for a bit. Let's turn you into this great big damn hero. Let's make you famous. Let's make you known. Let's make you loved. And then I will kill you. And I will take your power back. And you'll be remembered. What do you say, Puck? Why don't you and I work together and make sure that everybody knows and loves Puck?
And Puck kind of just does the like weird, tilty, creepy head tick that he does.
Yeah.
And says, that's where you're wrong, Jack. Nobody's going to remember me. And he steps backward through a portal to the boardwalk.
And we get a final scene with Jack Chance just slamming his fist against the thing and turning the radio back on and saying, "This is Jack Chance. I've just been assaulted by the supposed hero known as Puck. You get me his identity, I will write you a check for $100,000. Love ya." And then he ends the broadcast. And we go back to the fight. So, at this point, the fight is actually wrapped up.
Yeah.
But, so you bamf back into location. And I think at this point, we get a panel that has DeVillis, like, in handcuffs, sitting cross-legged and, like, you know, artfully placed to not be breaking the comic code authority. And Striped Eagle is walking over towards Centurion to go check it out. And so the two of you, Sokotoa and Frequency, are there when Puck bursts back into view.
Where were you?
Where'd you go? Guys, I went to hell and came back and I made a friend. Oh, wait, no, sorry. An enemy. But,
well, that's an important distinction, don't you think?
It's not as clear-cut as you might think, but looks like you guys did okay.
Well, yeah, we went through hell here, too.
No, but I literally went to hell.
Oh.
It wasn't fun.
You seem like you're in a pretty good mood.
I mean, we're out here on the beach. We're fighting crime. We didn't royally mess it up this time. Maybe they'll let us off.
All right. Ugh. I've got to ask, though. Was that you on the radio?
Yeah, I met. I just yes! met Jack Chance. I figured you guys would hear.
Did I heard that too? Then I thought I was, maybe you just that like, was
probably
it up.
Just that's probably yeah, just
I
Frequency.
I was going to have a scene where I was like, "Sokotoa, you got to hear this," but he's back. So
yeah, things happened very quickly. Yeah.
Is there? Do you, so we're just waiting there, and they're sort of taking Dr. DeVillis away. Is there a? Do you think I would have the opportunity to like make physical contact with Dr. DeVillis, try to manipulate his memories?
Absolutely. Right now, Striped Eagle is going to go check on Centurion, who has not moved yet. But basically, she put handcuffs on him that have like a stylized Striped Eagle on it.
Yeah.
But you actually recognize pretty readily that those are the handcuffs that Falcon uses.
Ooh.
So these are Falcon-issued handcuffs that have been stylized Striped Eagle style.
Okay.
But yeah, DeVillis is sitting there and he's just kind of breathing heavily and going like, and do you go up from behind him or so he can see you?
Probably behind him.
Okay.
And I just want to try to remove all of his memories of Jack Chance and the trickster. Well, not of Jack Chance.
Okay.
But of the trickster god.
Okay.
And me and our connection.
Absolutely.
So he just remembers, if he remembers anything like that, he just remembers Jack Chance telling him to do stuff.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so we get a couple of panels that you've got your hands on the back of his head and like his neck is kind of arching a little bit and just an image of him talking with Jack Chance and then it's faded and an image of like the ancient trickster in yeah. kind of like a stylized way and then it's gone and an image of you in a very like you know stylized over the top cartoony sort of way that just is gone and then he just like leans forward and like his back is arched and it looks like he's just been just dunked in ice cold water.
I guess he was
yeah but again
yeah.
Now when you do that do you know what memories like
yeah
are you basically. It's like an index system. You're pulling them out. I can manipulate them. You know what they are, mm-hmm. though. You're okay. Because I was going to say, like, you don't want to question him or anything first, but okay.
Yeah, and we can get into more detail on that later if we would like to.
That's
yeah, but for now, not. You rip it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an angry kind of just reaction-y
thing. That was me wanting to know how that worked, because I was going to say like, frequency would have stopped you and been like, let's question him first. But if you can still know what you've removed, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I can see those memories and I can target specific things. Okay.
That's Rob asking. That's me as a player asking.
So at this point, Striped Eagle is coming back, and she has gotten Centurion up onto their feet.
Okay, good.
Their mask is just, like, their visor mask is just dented in hard. There's no way their nose is not badly broken. But they're, like, kind of limping back towards the three of you.
Sokotoa stands a little bit taller in an attempt to impress Striped Eaglet.
Okay.
Frequency definitely notices that.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming we're all standing really close. I like nudge him with my elbow. You could take that however you want. That's either like a
go for it.
Don't get your hopes up.
Oh, okay.
Or it can be I see that, I'm acknowledging it.
I'm sure Sokotoa is interpreting that as a go for it.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Yeah, although you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know one way or another, but
I'm more noticing like, here comes a young girl.
And her mask is up. You can see her face and everything.
Oh, okay.
Now you're posturing a bit, and I'm just, that's very much just the, I see what's going on.
Right. She looks between the three of you and says, that was well done out there. Got it handled, got it taken care of.
Thank you.
We'll have to review the tape later, see where things went wrong. And she reaches up and touches the front of her helmet that is a little dented in. From where her head hit the balcony based on Sokotoa accidentally getting her in the back.
Hey, question for the GM. When it comes to those tapes, is there any way that someone might be able to mysteriously be able to delete those files?
Absolutely.
Because also, they may be able to figure out that I threw Centurion under the bus.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I would like to do that.
Okay, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. The reason I'm having you do this is because when Falcon finds that it's not there, they're going to do their due diligence to get it back.
Yep. Unleash your powers is freak.
Yep.
So that's an 8.
8. Okay. So I tell you how it's unstable or temporary. So yeah, you delete.
Or I can mark a condition.
Or you can mark a condition.
I think I'm going to mark a condition.
Okay. So what are you marking?
I'm marking guilty.
Okay. You don't feel good about this?
I know that they... most of the beatings they took were because we were helping out.
Yeah.
So I feel guilty personally and for all of us.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
I feel guilty.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and mark guilty then. And so Centurion seems to be trying to say something, but no voice is actually coming out. They just kind of tap the front of their helmet to indicate that they're not able to produce sound from their tech right now.
So Frequency, this is just like an aside thing. It's just a question. I want to give my number to this girl, but obviously she'll be able to know who I am if I give her like a legit number. Is there some way that we can jerry rig this?
Yeah, you can absolutely have a phone number that is associated with your hero. That's not anything that would be a problem in my mind.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because I definitely plan on, Sokotoa is going to go up to Striped Eagle and be like, hey, if you ever need help in the future, give me a call.
And she looks down. You just like scrabble it on a piece of paper.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she looks down at it for a second and kind of gives like a little amused smile and then takes the piece of paper and just like slips it into like a pouch on her armor and then says, now the media is going to be here soon. This was supposed to be a solo run. So if you three wouldn't mind, I'll handle things from here.
Bunch of shrugs.
So I'm going to go pick up the broom that we were working with earlier and just start sweeping the boardwalk. Like this crap all over the place, broken glass.
What? I realize now, what has this lizard woman been doing this entire time?
She's not a superhero. She's just a woman who's a lizard.
Oh, okay.
She's not a supervisor.
She's a mutant.
She's a supervisor. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So she comes out and she goes like, that all of that should count towards your hours. you can include that, and maybe you should just go.
Oh, all right.
I want to go home. And if you idiots are here, I can't.
All right.
So she signs off on your forms.
Cool. Is she telling us to go home, or is she signing off? She's signing off that, like, we did all our hours for today, but
you did your hours for today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So then we get a panel where Striped Eagle and Centurion are standing next to each other. The reporters are asking, like, you know, Centurion, who are you working with? And Centurion taps the front of the mask again. And Striped Eagle steps forward and says, I think I'll handle that one. It's about time Protean City had a Striped Eagle again. And I'm so glad to be able to answer that call. And then there's, like, you know, you can see all the reporters kind of like going crazy. But the three of you have been more or less ignored unless you want to insert yourself into this.
Is her visor still up?
Her visor's up.
Oh.
Do any of us recognize her? Like, is this a teenager that we know from anywhere?
This is not a teenager that you know.
Okay.
So where are you going?
I want to go to my lighthouse.
Okay.
And I would invite them to come.
You want to bring them with?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was gonna say,
okay, yeah. Cool.
Like, I have a cool base.
You don't have to invite us, but
No. Like, we just did a successful mission.
Yeah. So we get a shot of the lighthouse. Yeah, go ahead.
Have we been to the lighthouse before? Or is this
I don't know.
Probably not.
I heard you say, like, I have a cool base. I wasn't sure if
it's a sanctuary.
I wasn't sure if
you probably know that I have a place that I go sometimes, but I don't know if you've been there before.
I mean, is there a way for us to get there, or do we have to pull it too?
No, there's a ladder. I mean, Puck probably climbs the ladder most of the times too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure, I'll go.
So go ahead and let's go ahead and jump right to the sanctuary, because we've got like a little editor's note inside Puck's hidden sanctuary inside the lighthouse. It's a lighthouse,
yeah,
right?
It's a lighthouse.
Yeah. Inside Puck's hidden sanctuary in the lighthouse. And what does this room look like?
So it's obviously a big circular room because it's inside of a lighthouse. There's a staircase that goes down a little bit, but like the staircase has crumbled mostly, which is why it's like difficult to get up to.
Okay.
You kind of have to almost like you can walk up most of the spiral staircase inside the lighthouse. But at some point where it crumbles, you have to like go outside and then climb up a ladder on the exterior of the lighthouse. So it's not like super easy to do.
Yeah.
But once you get up into the room, you can kind of look down. You can see, you can like, there's another little bit of a staircase that takes you up to the actual light.
Okay.
But it's like the room that's just under the light.
Yeah.
And there's windows so you can kind of see out, but they're small porthole style windows.
Okay.
There's bookshelves everywhere, but even more than there are bookshelves, there are just books piled everywhere.
Yeah.
The floor is kind of a nice stone, but it's dusty. And the walls where there aren't books have, and the floor and the ceiling are all covered in these like etched, orange glowing runes and like concentric rings and like weird circles and stuff. And there's a couple big ones in the middle of the ground, that almost look like they are like summoning circles or something. They look like the little versions there. They look like big versions of the little summoning circles that Puck uses when he summons the fairies.
Okay.
And there is, of course, there's a big version, like if his fairies are like little fairy centaurs, there is a full size one.
Yeah.
That just is like hanging out.
And it has John's face, right?
Yeah. And it has John's face.
Yeah. And so it like kind of scrabbles forward a little bit and it goes, how does it speak? Does it have any sort of an accent or any sort of a voice, or just should I imitate your voice? I don't know if I can imitate your voice.
No, it can talk however.
Okay.
I think probably everybody hears a little of their own voice in it.
And it says, oh, you've brought friends in. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a first. Would you like me to fetch anything for them?
I don't know. Do you guys need anything?
The hell is that?
At this point, Puck probably has taken off his mask.
Yeah.
And so he's just kind of John now.
Yeah.
And
we can call you John.
Yeah, like you guys, we know, you know who I am. Okay. And
John, this is the weirdest thing I've seen all day. And I saw a 26-foot-tall demon.
I could have sworn I told you guys about this lighthouse.
I don't remember.
There's some that would find that a little bit rude.
Well, I'm really...
it's giving just this mischievous smile that's like so clearly John's smile.
You be quiet and mind your own business.
Isn't my business a little bit your business?
Yeah, but so is theirs.
Of course, of course.
And we have to talk business now.
Oh, yes, talk business. Have fun.
He's just another...
He's arguing with himself.
It's just another fairy, like the little fairies, but it's bigger. It's just another weird extension of the power. I don't really know. He's always been here. He just hangs out.
The bigger fairy is starting to like move off into whatever little part of the lighthouse he tends to hang out in.
Shuffling piles of books.
Yeah, moving things around and just sort of saying over his shoulder, "Oh, it's like the little fairies, but bigger. What a stunning revelation. How wonderful."
He's kind of an asshole.
I kind of like him.
I hope you don't mind that I took it in that direction. I felt like that would be like a nice mirror puck.
It's good.
What's his name?
I don't know. I've never called him anything. I mean, it's usually just me by myself here. But
are you looking? Are you like looking to to him? He's kind of like settled down into a corner with like his weird like diamond like gem spider legs sticking up next to him.
I'm just trying not to stare. I think I'm just gonna like turn the other way and like kind of ignore.
Welcome to my secret sanctuary. And John kind of falls backwards onto like a beanbag chair or something because there's like couches and stuff.
Please tell me it's whenever he fall, it's the same fall, but instead of into a portal, it's into a beanbag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Oh, yeah, it's the exact same portal.
It's the exact same.
Exact same panel.
I have books. This is where I study stuff.
You got any sodas up here?
Probably. And there's a fridge. There's like a little like college dorm mini fridge somewhere.
Nice.
Please tell me like one of the little fairies grabs a soda and just scuttles it over to me.
Yeah.
Brings over some corn Fanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably a little old. John doesn't really keep this place really well stocked, so it's kind of just like the odds and bits that the fairies try to bring back for him. But it's not like coherent.
Okay.
One of the things that I could have chosen for the sanctuary is food. And I didn't choose that.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense that like maybe he's got something, but it's not like coherent. It's not.
Yeah, you can't live in this sanctuary for days.
It's corn Fanta. Yeah. That's why.
Hashtag the Fanta Cornspiracy. So we get the shot now of the three of you, sodas in hand and chilling, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing a triumphant celebration?
Not until you do a triumphant celebration.
I think we all split the corn Fanta.
Is it one corn Fanta?
Yeah, he said there aren't many.
Yeah.
Perfect. What do you pour them into?
It's probably
pour
like
them.
Are you just passing a can around?
No,
perfect.
Yeah.
Is it a can or like a glass bottle?
It's probably a glass bottle.
Okay, cool. Passing around that glass bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we fought another bad guy at the boardwalk and you guys saved people.
We did.
Yeah, and I nearly, you know, killed another hero too, but
details.
Okay, but we got to talk about the serious business here though.
Yeah. She took your number.
She took your number.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say that, you know, we still don't know what he was doing there.
She took your number.
That is a triumphant celebration.
Exactly. Okay. That was the triumphant. Yes.
Okay. So go ahead. I think at very least, John and Ben have activated their triumphant celebration. I don't know if you have quite yet because you seem a little bit hesitant.
I just kind of can't believe it happened.
Yeah. So who are you celebrating triumphantly with?
I guess I'm celebrating with Ben.
Okay. What does that do?
So I give them influence over me.
Okay.
Oh, I have influence over you now.
You now have influence over Puck, yeah.
I'm going to read this to you, and you're going to tell me if I have to do it.
Okay.
It says, when you share a triumphant celebration with someone, give them influence over you, and spend one team from the pool to clear one box in your doom track. Do I have to spend team?
I don't think you do.
It says, and spend one. It just says, and spend one team from the pool to clear one box from your doom track.
So you might have to. Does it say any? Is there any fiction surrounding that?
It just says, when you share a triumphant celebration with someone, give them influence over you and spend one team from the pool to clear one box in your doom track.
Okay, so do you want to spend the team or no?
I don't want to.
Okay, then you don't have to spend the team.
I mean, I'm fine with burning the team. I don't want to unmark my doom track that I've worked so hard to mark.
I know. All right.
One more, guys. One more.
Oh, my God. Okay, and frequency. Do you want to use your triumphant celebration move as well?
Yes, when I share a triumphant celebration with someone, I ask them if they think I'm cool.
Who are you asking, Puck or Sokotoa?
Is it just the two of us, or is
Sokotoa? No, you are you're definitely celebrating with Sokotoa.
I think I'm asking Puck.
Okay, cool. The same.
Do I know what happened when you guys were gone? Like, did we talk about that while we were sharing the corn fanta before?
As much as you'd like to.
Yeah.
We could even have like a throwaway line with frequency, like giving like some.
No, I know exactly what happened. I didn't just delete those files.
Yeah.
I copied those files and then deleted them.
Okay.
Yeah. So cool. I have them like projected and where.
If John knows that you saved the people from the school, then like he definitely thinks you're cool. Like that's a cool heroic thing to do. Like
And also definitely Striped Eagle got the people from the boat onto the land.
Oh yeah,
using her flight.
I'm not worried about that.
That just abruptly occurred to me.
They're still out there, sunburned.
No, we definitely have. So that scene where we were like passing that, you know, the bottle of soda around or whatever.
Yeah.
There's like a hologram illusion floating in the middle.
Nice.
That's like a 3D rendering of the fight.
Yeah.
Perfect. We were definitely rewinding it, playing it back, rewinding it, playing it back, watching parts.
Yeah.
So we all know what we all did during that fight.
Perfect. Yeah. And so you ask Puck if... and so the way these work, these can be either done fully in character or we can do them a little bit out of character.
Yeah. I'm okay with doing it just sort of quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't need to roleplay it for 10 minutes, but like, do you think that was cool?
Yeah, man. We worked as a team. We got there. We like identified, like I distracted the bad guy. You got the people, you put out the fire. Like we all like, that was awesome. Like you saved those people. You led them out of the building. Like did they fly away on paragliders? Did I remember that incorrectly?
They flied in a boat.
They flew on a boat.
Carried by his drones.
That was freaking awesome.
They were like in a sail.
Yeah. Like you made that happen, dude.
Give them influence and take influence over them.
Oh, okay.
So we
cool. So if you already have influence over someone and you gain it again, then you get to shift their labels.
So he gets to shift my labels.
Yes.
Because I did not previously have influence over you, but now I do.
Yes.
And you had influence over me.
And now I have it again.
So now you get to shift my labels.
So it's like, how do you understand Puck?
I think danger up and mundane down.
Cool.
You just jumped in and took that guy head on. I'm definitely clicking through it. That first like big hit, just bam, rewind, bam, rewind, bam.
Yeah, the panel is definitely shows like in detail Puck slamming into him.
I don't think we need it, but I also add a team to the pool.
Cool.
I'm gonna tell Puck, you went to hell today and then basically was a jerk to an on radio personality. Both of those things I'd like to do someday.
We are going to be jerks to Jack Chance a lot in the future, I think.
I mean, I don't know him, but...
I mean, neither do I, but he has it out for me, so...
That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Actually, because you... So you actually do know. You know, because we've in the past, you haven't been to the sanctuary, but we've talked about my doom.
Yes.
So you know. And so so John would actually be like, Jack Chance works with the old god that I stole powers from.
Okay,
sorry, Ben. let me catch you up on this real quick. The short version is I stole powers from an old god, an old trickster god. If you've heard stories about a trickster, like a Nancy or Raven, any number of old trickster, like they're all the same weird outsidery god thing. And I kind of accidentally stole some of his powers. And he's not super happy about it. And Jack Chance works for him.
Well, it sounds a lot cooler than just hitting puberty.
More dangerous.
I think you just revealed a weakness.
Yeah.
Which is another team move. So go ahead and activate that.
And also, or a vulnerability. That's definitely.
Or a vulnerability, yeah.
Give them influence over me and ask if they honestly think there's hope for you. If they say yes, mark potential. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what it does.
Just, okay.
So he's just going to say, so like there is a, like, it sounds cool, but like, let me tell you, there is a big old powerful god thing that wants to eat me. And I don't know how to get out of that.
Frequency still thinks there's hope for you. Because I've seen you just rush headlong into fights and you make it out of there. So yeah, you could totally handle that.
Okay, so if they say yes, mark potential and clear one box of my doom track. So
that's okay.
Clear one box.
People are going to miss Puck when he dies.
And I mark potential, as I said?
Yep.
Oh, mark potential.
Awesome.
But also, you need to shift my weakness. Because you take influence over me again, so you
stop
shift my weakness.
Stop giving me influence. So you're going to move your freak up by one.
Okay.
Your savior down by one.
Oh, cool.
I'm a freaky dangerous dude.
You are.
That
peak checks freak, out. Peak danger.
Oof, that checks out. Okay. And so now, what is your celebration, Sokotoa? You add one team to the pool.
Yeah, I add one team. And so I just told Puck how awesome he was.
Yeah.
He already
has told you.
Has told me that I'm also awesome, or we are awesome. So that adds another team to the pool. So we have a
All right, we're
a
at like team. Five team right now. Yeah. So handle some stuff.
I have like a pin board.
Yeah.
Like a push pin board. Yeah. And I have a picture. I like shuffle through. I have a box probably of a bunch of pictures of people.
Nice.
And I pull out a picture of, it's like a promo from like an event, at like a taste of Protean City.
Nice.
That Jack Chance was speaking at. And I like pin that up on the board right in the middle. And there's like a big thing where he's handwritten in like goofy, like bold font, like Doom. And then I'm starting my mystery board. And so he springs some yarn.
You're starting like a red string board.
Yeah. Oh,
no. And I think that's where we're going to end the scene inside the lighthouse, unless any of you really want to do something in the lighthouse.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I want to know just real quick if Striped Eagle taking my number was on film, because I'd like to rewind that and watch that over a few times.
So we've got definitely a scene where we have Sokotoa and Frequency like playing with the thing, pulling it back and like showing the number and like, you know, having some celebrations, some good times, and Puck just looking up at this board, and he's just face to face with Jack Chance on the board. And there's just like a look on his face that is similar enough to the look on Jack's face that like we just get some like nice symmetry.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Puck is played by me, James Malloy, and I can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.